Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me as ever is Oriol Puzeman. And on this week's show, we will be discussing all of the action and all of the major talking points from a very interesting and intriguing French Grand Prix weekend at Le Mans. Of course, victory number three for Enea Bastianini, but this is the first time, Yuri, that we've been able to speak since the bombshell announcement that you made after the Jerez weekend that Suzuki will be quitting MotoGP at the end of 2022. That was something confirmed on Thursday ahead of the Le Mans race that Suzuki were in discussions with Dorna Sports. And this is really, this has caused a big stir in the rider market.
Yeah, well, we had this a bit of a weird statement because they say that they are in discussions with Dorna on the quitting thing, but at the same time they were saying goodbye, thank you very much, to all the team. So it's obviously that this is going to happen, and also Dorna believes that this is going to happen. So it was just a matter of something legal going on between both parts, but anyway, this is happening. And yeah, of course, this news bring a completely new scenario regarding the riders market, because this news has put on the market two really fast and really good riders, Joan and Alex Rins, and it might have a huge impact on the other teams' strategies. So yeah, I think the market at the moment is pretty volatile. So yeah, let's see what happens, because we have heard that there are a few negotiations going on, and we see what happened with Jack, because he's been in touch with KTM, with Honda, also with Pramac. So apparently he's a bit more close to KTM now. But yeah, it's pretty unstable at the moment.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I mean, we spoke first, for just keeping with Suzuki, a couple of us spoke to Paco Sanchez, Joan Mir's manager, and although there was a lot of kind of rumors around Honda in the second seat there, Sanchez did tell us that at Jerez there was an indication that they were a bit closer to agreeing a deal with Suzuki, and Alex Rins said that they were in discussions as well, and they were looking kind of closer to meeting terms. So this has really blown things open for a couple of other riders, because there was, for a few days, it looked like, or at least from the outside, it appeared that there wasn't going to be as many big moves as we perhaps thought, maybe after Portimao.
Yeah, but nobody expected this move from Suzuki. So at this stage, at least that's how I approach this, the situation and the conversations. Don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't take any thing that the managers say by 100% fact, because now all of them are playing their strategies. So I would be very cautious to swallow all what they are telling to the especially to the media, because they are playing their cards, and of course they try to make a use of us. So I would be a bit I would try to double or triple check this kind of quotes from them.
Yeah, for sure, you are 100% right, and I have to say it was a very cagey weekend at Le Mans. I didn't see very many team bosses wandering about. I was hoping to speak to Lucio Cecchinello about his situation. LCR said, nope, not happening until Barcelona at least. You know, a lot of managers walking in and out of trucks. It was very...
Well, in the case of Lucio, he's just Honda. I mean, he doesn't decide a single thing. I mean, he can, give Honda an advice. He can say, listen, for my sponsors, it would be better to go this direction or that direction. But, I mean, Honda is the decision maker regarding the riders.
For sure. But, you know, team bosses were very locked down, I think, would be the best way to put it. And what we've seen, kind of going back to what we've seen on track so far this year at Le Mans, you know, another win for Bastianini on the old Ducati. Ducati is the kind of one manufacturer that doesn't really look like it will be affected by everything that's happened with Suzuki and anywhere else in the market. They are, you know, the factory seat, we know that Jack will be out there. It's not confirmed, but we know it will happen. So it's between Bastianini, another win, or Jorge Martin, who has had a really difficult start to the season, crashed again at Le Mans. And it seems, speaking to Paolo Gibatti, that Ducati hold... They have a better hand than the riders in terms of negotiating right now.
Well, what I would say is that Ducati has made the job before. So they had everything perfectly set before the Suzuki news. So they don't need, and I would say, I would go a bit there, a bit further even. I would say that the Suzuki decision has affected all the teams but Ducati, because they're not going to change the strategy by trying to sign a top rider like Mir, because it's not what they are looking for. So maybe if Mir would agree to sign for much less money than the one he believes that he is deserving, or that the money that he is looking for, maybe it would be a possibility for Ducati. But I have doubts about it, because they have a pretty clear, I mean, Ducati has a pretty clear strategy, a pretty clear goal. So I don't think they're going to change that way that much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Bastianini's kind of testament to that, you know, being at Ventia last year, gets a better bike this year, and is now, you know, their system is working. You do have to admit that it's quite hard now for Ducati not to put him at the factory team.
Sorry, and coming back to the other topic, to the Mir's, for example, topic, the hypothetical signing for Ducati, I think that there are other manufacturers with more urgency than Ducati for signing him. Like, for example, Honda needs to do something.
Exactly.
Because, needs to do something, because Paul, again, has been really, really, really far. So they need to replace at least... As I mean, that's what the results tell me.
Yeah.
So
you have come on to a point I was going to raise, but we'll touch on it now. I mean, the one thing that Mir will bring to Honda, if there's one problem that Honda have right now, it's, if you listen to Mark, it's the fact that at tight circuits they struggle to turn the bike. Having a rider like Joan Mir, experience of a Suzuki, it seems like he has more value to them than another rider right now.
Well, I not only because of his experience on the Suzuki, because we've had Paul, we've had Jorge, we've had Mark. I mean, we've had a lot of different riders. Just because they need to do something, they need to try anything else, because otherwise they will be stuck at the moment. They are running out of ideas. That's what Mark said after the race on Sunday. So. And at the moment, they can keep going like this. It's Honda. I mean, they need to react and they need to do something fast. Of course, the input of Joan can be interesting because of his experience with a really handling bike. But it's just that they need to do something. They need to put something more on the grill.
Yeah, for sure. I think what's telling about Honda's situation right now is that the debriefs yesterday on Sunday, there wasn't very many people that turned up to Mark, which is not something that happens often. It is a We thought that initially at the start of the season that the Honda was just, it was more of a mark problem on the bike. It's now, it seems that the bike is just fundamentally flawed because Espargaró hasn't been able to do what he did in Qatar. The LCR riders are very slow. It's a very odd situation that Honda found themselves in given where they came from in the last couple of years.
I don't think there's is any... Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's no problem with the bike, which is clear that the bike has problems. But I would put it this way. Mark is not able to get the results from the bike like he used to do it in the past, because his body, his physical conditions and the experience that he's had with such a huge accidents recently and all the injuries coming out from those accidents have had a huge impact on him finally. So he's not putting that, he's not taking that extra of risk that he always used to take. So that's, in my opinion, that's the most clear way to explain the situation.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It's something Mark even admitted yesterday. He said,
I mean, he has, yeah, sorry about that, Luis, but he said many times, yeah, I won with much worse bikes than this one. Yeah. So that's the best definition of what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. He admitted yesterday that he physically didn't feel well. We saw that in the warm-up. He had a big moment on the start and it hurt his arm. But we are, and he's spoken about this a lot, how he has to condition his weekend so he doesn't put too much pressure on himself on Fridays.
In a way, it can be also understandable. I mean, I'm nobody to criticize this, because how many times have you listened people saying he goes over the limit too much, too much over the limit? Now he's doing opposite.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going over the limit, but that's the level of the bike. If he's showing that on purpose, I don't know, but that's the fact. And he's telling this to the people, to the world. I am not going to be, last Sunday he said, I only took a risk the first lap. Then I decided to stay there in my position, to play my cards and to try to end up as best way as possible. So he's admitting that. So I think it's the picture is pretty clear.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Going back to Ducati and my original question to you, which it seems like Ducati don't have a choice anymore. They have to put Enea on that factory bike. You know, he's won three times. He is Italian, which is something that has to be taken into consideration. And he has just been the better of the Ducati riders this year.
Well, I think that, of course, he's Italian. It has to be taken into consideration. But probably not as hard as it would be if Pecco would be Spanish or French or, you know, but because of Pecco is Italian, I wouldn't say that it has to be compulsory to have a second Italian rider. But that's not the thing. The thing is that Enea has won more races than anybody else. And he's the best Ducati rider at the moment. And nobody, at least me, but I think nobody would understand Ducati choosing a different rider to put on the factory team. So that's my point. I mean, any other choice than Bastianini would be very difficult to understand.
Yeah, I agree. He has been riding excellent this year and he continues to. Another rider who is riding excellently but is at his limit, I think, is Fabio Quartararo. again, it was the same kind of comments, you know, I can't overtake with the bike, you know, no power, I'm doing the best I can, I'm not title favourite. I mean, he's... Do you think he's correct when he says that he's not the favourite for the championship?
Again, like the managers, they are all playing their cards. I mean, being favourite for the championship or not being favourite for the championship, but in the end, this is all personal impressions or perceptions. I think that, of course, he thinks about himself that he is a title contender, of course. If he's favorite or not favorite, who would be more favorite? Bastianini? Well, yeah, because he has 3 wins, but at the same time, he has also lower points. And when he loses a lot of points. So if consistency is the key, I would say that Fabio at the moment is more consistent than Bastianini. So he would be the number one. But I don't prefer to put this label in a rider, especially in such a difficult championship to predict. But I think that last Sunday, Fabio was a bit of a, he struggled at the beginning, and that's what probably made the things harder for him at the end of the race. He took a bit of a time to being able to attack, and of course we know the limitations of that Yamaha, so I would say that it was a combination of factors.
Yeah, for sure. Just finally, if Fabio doesn't think he is the title favorite, then it's hard pressed to say that Aleix isn't one of the favorites right now, because again, the consistency is there with the Aprilia. He's riding well. We've seen it, different tracks, different conditions, that the Aprilia works well everywhere. I think, you know, we do have to take them seriously as a championship challenger.
Yeah, until the numbers or the reality shows us different. I think that both Aprilia and Aleix deserve us to take them as title contenders, because he has no pressure, point number one. And I'm saying that he has no pressure because, in my opinion, he is in that window that whoever comes, it will be fine. So if he decides to stop and go home and enjoy the family and focus on different business and do his bicycle things, and will be good for him, because now he has a life outside racing. We had, don't get me wrong, but we've seen many riders stopping for a year, having a sabbatical year, let's put Dobby, and by saying that I'm not coming back unless I have a title contender bike on me. We've seen how Dobby came back. Yeah, I don't think that's the case with Aleix.
Yeah.
So he has no need of being there. Now he's enjoying the moment, and I agree with him. Aprilia would do the biggest mistake of the company's history by not giving him what he's asking for, considering that what he's asking for is not crazy.
No. And he's earned it. You know,
he's just asking for keeping the same kind of contract that he has in the last 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I say, I think he's earned it. And Aleix has been riding fantastic. On that note, Yuri, we'll wrap up there. Thank you ever so much for your company and your insight, as always. And we'll speak next week, I presume, ahead of the Italian Grand Prix. If you like what you heard, you can go and listen to all of our other podcasts on your podcast platforms, and of course follow everything on Autosport and motorsport.com for all your latest MotoGP news. But until the next time, it's a very warm goodbye.